He comes in his first year with huge pressure, which there always is at Bama, but not like this. And he's able to get in a top 10 prospect in his position, a top 100 player in the nation, Wilkin Formby.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to College Football with Jonathan Lewis. As you guys can see here, we've got a special guest on, Ty Hayes. I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself before we jump into today's video and let everybody know where they can find you at, bro.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, man. Always a great time. Everybody, I'm Ty Hayes with Around the Table Sports. I have a YouTube channel where I consistently talk about college football content, whether that's breaking down games, doing game predictions, and especially recruiting. That's probably my favorite thing in college football outside of the actual X's and O's and the game. Love recruiting. So very excited to be here today and talking about it, man. How are you this morning, I guess?
Jeez. Yeah, this morning. Yeah, great. I just finished off my coffee, so that's a big bummer. But either way, it is what it is. Anyways, I don't think I could find somebody out there that likes recruiting as much as I do until I found Ty. So I figured, you know what, for recruiting videos, this is it. So with that being said, we're going to be talking about, four-star offensive tackle that committed to the University of Alabama, Wilkin Formby from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Northridge High to be exact. I believe they're a 6A school. Either way, he was the 10th ranked offensive tackle, 83rd player nationally going forward here. But we're going to be talking about what he brings to the University of Alabama, how him and Eric Wolford hooked up. So we're going to be talking about a little bit about the new offensive line coach as well. But Wilkin Formby, like I said, four-star offensive tackle, 6'7". He said he's 6'8 now. He is pushing over 300 supposedly already. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and let you take it away and give me your thoughts initially on Wilkin Formby committing to Alabama.
Yeah, huge, huge kid. I mean, 6'8", and he looks every bit of it, right? Yeah. 300-plus pounds. And the thing I like so much about Wilkin Formby, and, the first thing that really stands out to me has to do with Coach Wolford being there. Yeah, Coach Wolford is somebody that's been known everywhere he's gone. You've seen a statistical increase in terms of production from the offensive line. They have all improved. We saw what Kentucky's offensive line did last year. I mean, they were phenomenal. And now he's working with a whole lot of talent, but you love when he goes out on the trail year one as Alabama's offensive line coach in a year where, I mean, Jonathan, can you think of the pressure an offensive line coach at Alabama has this year? Bryce Young's just coming off of a Heisman. Jahmyr Gibbs is there. If nothing goes right, everybody's going to look at the offensive line because that was the struggle last year. He comes in his first year with huge pressure, which there always is at Bama, but not like this. And he's able to get in a top 10 prospect in his position, a top 100 player in the nation, Wilkin Formby. And so I bring up Wolford because he's known as someone who's super into the intangibles, super into the technique. Why I think that's so important is because when I watch Formby, there's something he brings to the table you can't teach, right? So everything that you can teach him, I'm very comfortable Wolford is going to be able to work that in. It's going to be great. You can't teach that want to, that ferocity and tenacity he brings to the table. I said this the other day when we were talking about Formby. If you turn on the film, there are some guys that will block somebody, pancake them, and their job is done, and then they stand there. And I have no problem with that because you did your job. Then there are other guys that you have to grab them and pull them off of their blocking assignment until the whistle is done, and that's Formby. That's the type of attitude that will permeate a room. That's the type of tenacity and ferocity we're looking for. We can't get pushed around. And he brings this edge where he's not going to accept getting pushed around. That's the attitude, man, from an offensive lineman I love to get. And, you know, with offensive line, we talk about all the time, it's such a major jump to come in from high school to college. The difference in speed, strength, technique, and understanding of the systems around you are exponentially higher. So I'm never surprised when these guys wait, but at the end of the day, I think it's the perfect combination of new coach, a recruit that comes in with some intangibles you either have or you don't, right? I mean, we've seen great offensive tackles even at Bama, and we've seen guys that have that real edge to them and then guys that don't, and they've all gone to the first round, but the guys that have that edge to them, I feel like it permeates the other members of the offensive line a little bit more. Landon Dickerson, for instance, right? A guy whose presence was felt no matter what. I'm not saying he's going to be Landon Dickerson. I'm just saying those are the kind of intangibles you can look for that, even though it's not actually football, it brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, so he picked Alabama over Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, and he actually talked a little bit about on his interview 2 days ago about how Oklahoma and Ole Miss were definitely in the running with this, but the big deciding factor was Wolford coming over to Alabama, finding the stability in the offensive line coaching position now and loving his camp. So I guess recently he went to his camp and loved his development. And then, of course, he talks about at the end all, the one that put it over the top, was like he said, it's the development of the offensive linemen at the University of Alabama that go to the next level in the NFL. You know what I mean? Even if they're not completely polished like an Alex Leatherwood and those, they still end up going somehow in that first round when a lot of people go, what are you doing? Or the second round, right? So with that being said, the notes I got off of 24/7, the film I watched in On Three as well, when you look at him, good foot and body quickness, violent at the point of attack is what I put. So when you see him initially make that contact, he has that punch almost. He doesn't wait for you to make contact. He's going to initially kind of blow you off the line. And like you said, drive you basically off the field and have a coach pull you off. With that being said, sustains blocks. Clearly really good about that. Above average footwork. But the key thing I feel like that 24/7 and On Three talk about as well is he's going to need 1 to 2 years to develop. He's a big guy. And the reason why I feel like they put that on there is exactly what Wolford said. He's like, look, he's a left tackle. He's a left or right tackle, but they want to put him at left. You know, being a left tackle at Alabama or any major program is a huge stepping stone, like you said, going from high school to college. You're playing different monsters. Can you imagine lining up across from Will Anderson your freshman or sophomore season?
Especially if less than a year ago you lined up against me.
Yeah,
like at the high school level, exactly. You just blocked me and you got me all game thinking you did great. And you did a great job.
Yep.
Less than 6 months later, you got Will Anderson and Dallas Turner down your throat.
Bro.
Good luck. I don't know that, but that's why I always give that little soliloquy about expectations on offensive line. These guys, I'm never surprised when they come in and sit. We've had guys at Alabama not come in and sit, but that's because we've gotten rare talent at the tackle position before, like rare, bona fide, rare air at the talent position at the tackle.
Yeah. When you talk about Cam Robinson, you're talking about guys like that. You're talking about a different breed of animal. Evan Neal, like these guys are different. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from Formby, but these guys came in really polished compared to a Formby, to be honest. And I'll be honest with you, Formby has a lot more expectation put on him than a Robinson or Leatherwood, because Robinson and Leatherwood were expected to go into the guard position and move into a tackle position, where Wolford said, no, we want to stick with you only on the tackle position, develop you strictly into that. We're not worried about nothing else. And we want you on the left side. So, I mean, in a sense, yeah, you may not have the expectation of being like the number one recruit, but we're putting all the weight on your shoulders and you need to develop this in 1 to 2 seasons. You know what I mean? Without being on the field yet. So I think that's a big deal. In the intangibles with Formby, in my opinion, when you hear him speak and other coaches talk about him, Coach Copeland in the high school level and all that stuff, he's a vocal leader. And one thing I feel like we have struggled with the past couple of seasons on that O-line outside of Landon Dickerson is the vocal leader. Who's going to be the guy to step up and call people out on that line? Because we all know Dickerson did that. You know what I mean? We all know Cam Robinson did that. People expected that out of Leatherwood, but he really was kind of like the silent guy, right? And I feel like a lot of people feel like Formby won't be that guy. He's going to be the guy that kind of speaks for the offensive line. And that's saying a lot when you look at this class that Alabama is looking at as far as Caden Proctor, Francis Maunoa, and then Samson, hopefully I get his name right, Okunlola. So, I mean, when you look at these guys and Formby's the first domino to fall and said he wanted to be that guy, that says a lot about who you are. And overall, when you watch his interviews, he's just a great guy. He's a good guy. He's an open book. He lets you know this is what I wanted, where I wanted to go. Said Alabama was his dream school, and this is what they needed to do. And they did it, and he went. I mean, I don't know of many recruits that say that type of stuff out in the open and then play upon it. So, but yeah, anything else you want to add on this, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be good to talk about some offensive line recruits outside of Formby, kind of giving people some expectations. And look, that's a great story as well. When we're talking about offensive linemen outside of Formby, if we're specifically focusing on just some five-star guys, right?
Yeah.
Caden Proctor has Alabama in his top two. A great win for Alabama, just being in his top two. right? That is a battle I think Alabama has a really good shot at, because I think they shot up his board. And now that they're in the top two, anytime Bama's in the top two, it's going to be tough to keep Bama out of it, right? I mean, it's just Alabama. So that's a great bit of information for Alabama fans. Then you look at Francis Malinoa. He's coming off of a visit to USC that I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to mince words. It looked like a great time. Just from the pictures I've seen, that looked like it was about as fun of a visit as you could have. From being on LA's beaches to being at some of the iconic places in LA, to seeing the Rose Bowl in the way they did, to the cookout at Lincoln Riley's house, to you saw pictures of Big Dave Uiagalelei posting about his son being at the Dr. Dre Music Center. Like, that was about as good of a visit as it possibly could have been. But remember one thing, Alabama fans, nobody really has as good of a pipeline to IMG as does Alabama on that offensive line. And Francis Malinoa is going to be a major priority. And as great as that visit to USC went, and let's be real, it went very well. They're a real threat. You can never count out Alabama. And finally, you have Samson Okunlola, the other five-star tackle out of Massachusetts. Remember, Bill O'Brien has some deep roots in that area because of his time with New England Patriots, right? He's a name that's probably decently well received there because of all the accolades they had with he and Tom Brady, right? So whenever you're talking about that, now you're bringing in Eric Wolford as well, someone that has the reputation he does. Alabama could be in a situation where we take Formby and we are legitimately in the running for which one of these five stars do you want? We're right there for all three of them. I will say this, though. If we can exit this class with, we'll say, a Formby and a Caden Proctor, I'm going to be over the moon at our tackles. I'm going to be so happy with that because I love the Booker addition last year at guard.
Yep.
I love that addition. And I think that with those two tackles, and even look, you get Malinoa, Okunlola. I'm not picky. I love all three of those guys. I think Proctor, though, is a name I'm really looking at as the guy I would really like to add into this class personally.
Yeah, me and you are both on the same page. I said the same thing, man. If we can get Formby and Proctor, because I wasn't personally expecting Formby because it just seemed like all the crystal ball, all the information, I'm not an insider, was leaning towards Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Like everybody was saying Ole Miss. And a lot of people were saying that because of they were projecting. Now, all of a sudden, Proctor is an Alabama lean. It's like, because in my opinion, a couple of weeks ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't think he was even a chance of him landing in Alabama. At least it wasn't a very good chance. I wouldn't say above a 10%.
Yeah, so, it was certainly a low chance. I wouldn't have been surprised if we weren't in the top two. And I can't say I was super shocked we were in the top two, because anytime Alabama gets in a recruit for a visit, Bama has a very good track record of soaring up their boards. But at the end of the day, it was a pleasant surprise. I'll put it like that. Something that when I woke up the next day and saw, oh, Caden Proctor has us in his top two. That's unbelievable news. That's great.
Bro.
Super happy the rest of my day. So that, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I'm interested to see what we do at the guard position as well.
Exactly. And look, there's a lot to this because, it's all great that we can get Formby. And let's say we get two out of these three. Let's say we get Formby. I think there's a chance we get Proctor. And then to get him out of Des Moines, Iowa is going to be hard because Iowa is obviously his other one. That's not going to be any easy task. Iowa produces and develops NFL talent, on that line. We already know that. So it's not like we can go into that going, hey, look at the disparity. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a very big disparity. It's almost even, if you ask me, when you look at what they're producing, because they're putting 2 and 3 stars in the NFL. You know what I mean? In Iowa. And I get it. They get 4 stars on that offensive line, but they just develop those guys. And then I think if we can get Proctor and Okunlola, with that, and you pair that with the fact that J.C. Latham had time to develop and actually play last year. The Brockermeyer twins, I'll let you elaborate on them a little bit. And the rest of the depth that we're seeing on the offensive line, it can almost turn into what we saw a couple of years ago with the defensive back position. We were like, holy crap, we're not super thin. We just need these guys to get experience. And I feel like that was last year with our offensive line, the Brockermeyer twins possibly getting hurt. And then you're talking about, obviously, J.C. Latham on the line, but he's so young and still developing. And now you could possibly bring in, well, you're definitely bringing in Formby, but possibly bring in Proctor and Okunlola on top of that. It's like, bro, in the next, you know, 1 to 3 years, this offensive line is going to be like special. You know what I mean? So
it could be really good. And the Brockermeyers are an interesting case because they are supremely talented. Remember that soliloquy I gave earlier? I'm never surprised when someone comes in and takes some time to develop, right?
Yep.
So I'm not surprised they took a year, but also from some of the things, and I don't know the extent of these injuries, and I could be wrong, so don't take it as gospel. I've heard, though, that the Tommy especially was dealing with some nagging injuries that really kind of prevented him from fully being able to be invested in developing completely. He couldn't get his weight where he wanted it because of an injury. It really kind of sidelined him from doing all of the necessary things before he could ever really get into the meat of his development. Now, if that's true, it certainly explains a lot and actually leaves a really positive note on it, because now you're looking at a situation where, okay, well, he gets healthy. We know he's talented. Now he can come in and make up for lost time. So I'm still very much well in the belief that the Brockermeyers are going to be just fine, especially if it is true that it was a nagging injury. And James, we knew, was going to come in and take some time to sit and develop. He's a guy that plays with nasty ferocity, but it was kind of known, right? You're a center. Those are guys that you really want to have them understand the entire offense before they're ever on the field. So, I mean, we look at this, and one of the things we haven't gotten to talk about, but it's definitely a point in this, you look now, Bama gets Formby. Bama's in the running for those three offensive tackles that are five stars in Mauinoa, Okunlola, and Proctor. Bama also has Eli Holstein, a part of this class, who I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him end up as a five-star quarterback. And I actually believe if there wasn't so many five-star quarterbacks in the nation, he would probably be a five-star signal caller as well. But this year is just loaded. That's going to help your chances for a Cedric Baxter Jr. That's going to help your chances for a Richard Young. Why wouldn't it?
I mean, when you look at the possibility, because I personally didn't think we were in the running for Cedric Baxter just a couple of weeks ago, just like I didn't think we were with Caden Proctor. And now the possibility of, you know, there's a lot of crystal ball saying Richard Young's going to Alabama. Like, he's that guy. He's going to end up at Alabama. And look, I was over the moon to hear that because I'm a gigantic Richard Young fan. If we can get any running back in this class, and I'm talking about including Reuben Owens and all of them, I said Richard Young was the guy. He has that fifth gear. He has that extra, you know what I mean? He can run over people. I'm not saying he's as big as Derrick Henry, obviously, but he has that ferocity to him at running the ball like a Derrick Henry had. He's just on a different planet, man, in my opinion. And then you add in the possibility of adding in Cedric Baxter with him. Come on, top 10 running backs. Come on. Like, that's ridiculous, man. And then Eli Holstein, who I thought was a perfect fit for the system. Stop looking at the rankings, people. I'm telling you, stop looking at number one QB. Look at who's going to fit your program the best. That's just my opinion.
No, I love that. And, you know, it really highlights something I've said. You know, you and I have talked about this, but I ran a segment of this in a live stream and then in a video. Do stars matter? Well, the answer is yes, right? Obviously, you're much more likely to win a national championship with five stars than you are with three stars. But I keep bringing up this point to drive home, stars matter to a point, right? They're a great understanding tool. But when you're talking about Alabama, right, stars kind of go out the window because you have to camp. And if they see a four-star that they think fits better than a five-star, that four-star is going to be the number one on their board, regardless if he's the number 400 player in the nation. Perfect example last year, Amari Nablack.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Amari Nablack is like 1,200 in the nation when he camps at Alabama. Nick Saban and them are like, hey, we found our guy at tight end. This is a dude. We like him as well as any tight end in the nation. We did great getting more tight ends because our depth was so thin at that position and it's becoming such a necessary position. But that's a great example of there were four-star tight ends that people probably wanted to get. People probably didn't know about Amari Nablack, but that doesn't mean that Amari Nablack isn't the best option, right? Like, Saban found something he liked in his system, and that's more pressing to me than a star ranking.
I had another good example. You talk about somebody coming in unknown like that, and I'm sitting here going, well, Mac Jones wasn't the most highly touted quarterback.
Exactly.
Mac Jones, Josh Jacobs was never a starter. Technically, wasn't a full season starter. Obviously, he goes in the first round of the NFL draft.
Anthony Averett.
Levi Wallace.
I'm sorry. It was Levi Wallace. Levi Wallace was a walk-on. Yep.
Yes. And then he's in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, he got drafted, or he went undrafted to the Bills, but made the starting roster. And then I believe he made a Pro Bowl at one point.
Yeah, so, balled out.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculous when you think about this. I could be wrong on the Pro Bowl, but I know he balled out, like, completely. I know he
had a really good season.
Yes.
Really good.
And you're starting to see more and more of that, because it's like I've always said, stars matter to a point. Like you said, stars matter. But let me tell you something. Stars really don't mean nothing if you can't develop stars. And I can't point. Look, I'm not knocking Texas too much here, but Texas has a top 10 recruiting class, it seems like, almost every season. And they just went into an NFL draft with zero players drafted.
No, look, I'm not going to be the guy to defend Texas here, but for this situation, I have to. And this is because you're not wrong, right? But this is something that I do feel like there needs to be a conversation on this, because it really opens the door to another necessary avenue within dialogue around recruiting. And that is, just because you sign a top 10 class doesn't mean all top 10 classes are created equal. And let me explain. If you look, Texas throughout like 10 years has signed less offensive linemen than every team in the Big 12 by a massive margin. Nino's Corner has a great video on this. I implore everybody to go watch it. It is so well done, where he does a deep dive into some of the miscues of Texas recruiting. And what he finds is they haven't recruited the offensive line at all. Like, they'll get a five-star guy and be like, good, we're done. And what Texas has done recruiting, they don't build classes, or they didn't build classes that had any cohesion. You'd look at it and you're like, yeah, there's a bunch of five stars, but can I build a team out of this, or can I just go play backyard football? Well, the answer for Texas for so many years is, we can go play backyard football, but you're going to have a hard time building a structured team, because it's all about the flash. It's all about, let's get this guy and this guy and this guy, as opposed to, what do we need? Hopefully Sark and them get that right. Right. Like, Jeff Banks is there. Bo Davis is there. Like, you got some heavy hitters. Hopefully they get it right. Kyle Flood being there, that offensive line class. But Texas has been such a unique case in recruiting, because they get top 10 classes, but it's almost like you go and eat, and you can eat and eat and eat, but you're not full. You get what I mean? It's not meaningful. It doesn't amount to anything. So hopefully they fix it. But even outside of that, that's not to take away from your point about Texas development being bad. Texas has had, I believe, six first round draft picks since the Vince Young draft, and none of them have been on offense.
I mean, yeah, and we can get into a deeper conversation on that, even about Lincoln Riley, who's had one first round defensive player drafted his entire time at Oklahoma. And we're talking about Kenneth Murray, who is a stud.
Beast.
I feel like he was going to get drafted no matter where he went. In the first round. Yeah, and believe it or not, I believe he only had, four first-round offensive players draft. So Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Marquise Brown, and CeeDee Lamb. I can't think of any others on the top of my head. But,
an offensive lineman.
Maybe. I can't think of – honestly, I can't think of one.
I'd have to go back into the drafts, because
So, and, look, development plays a huge role in this. And I feel like that's what makes Alabama so well. I mean, we can point to Cameron Latu, who was not a tight end coming out of high school. I mean, where did he start out at? Linebacker or defensive
outside linebacker?
Outside
defensive
linebacker.
Defensive end, outside linebacker, depending if you're in a 4-3, 3-4. That's a whole other can of worms.
But either way, this guy, we'll just say outside linebacker, and he moved to tight end. And he had 8 touchdowns last year and was our leading tight end. You know what I mean? That shows you what it takes to develop and put these guys out there. You know what I mean? And to think that that can happen, and these guys are playing other 4 and 5 stars. You know, it's like what Pat McAfee said on the Pat McAfee show. He talks about what made Mac Jones so good when he came into the Patriots that year for his rookie season, is this guy was on a scout team for 4 years, or we'll say 3.5 years, and then became the starter. So he was on a scout team playing first team defenses, because that's what Nick Saban does. He puts the scout team against the first team defense almost every single day at one point. And he played those guys, and he tortured those defensive backs. And he did that for 3 to almost 4 full seasons, and then gets drafted. And that's why he came in so prepared. You know what I mean? So once again, iron sharpens iron, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just what it comes down to at this point. But yeah, man, anything else you want to talk about?
I think we've pretty much well covered the Form B commitment and some of the subsequent areas it kind of stems into.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I can sit here and talk about this freaking all day. But with that being said, Alabama is, I believe, their 38th nationally, according to 24/7 Sports, with that commitment. And there's a lot of movement that's going to happen between now and obviously signing day in December, early signing day in December, then obviously normal signing day in February. And don't be surprised, and definitely pay attention to these signing days possibly being moved around because of the NIL impacting the transfer portal windows and the recruiting windows probably eventually. So definitely another thing to be paying attention to. But other than that, anything else?
No, that's about it, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody getting on here and watching today's video. If you haven't already, make sure to check out Around the Table Sports. The link to his YouTube channel will be in the description below. Also, his Twitter handle will be there as well. So make sure to go follow Ty Hayes. Like I said, it's above his head right now if you're watching this video. And in the description below, man, I really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely, man. Always love it.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man. I still go. Go, 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 go.